peek on the wave there. You're supposed to start at one side, finish on the other. I didn't pay them to do that, by the way. That was not me. Very good, guys. I appreciate that. Next time, puffy foam fingers. That's what I'm talking about. Puffy foam fingers, you're number one. Make sure you bring them. All right. It's very good to be here with you this morning. I count it a privilege to be able to speak to you this morning. I don't take the task lightly. I apologize already on behalf of my pastor that he's not here to speak to you. As you see, there's some lost excitement when he's not here, some screaming when David's singing, you know. I just couldn't muster up that, one of those yeah boys or something like that. I just couldn't do it. But I was thinking, you know, if I could get a yup, yup, yup or something like that in there, it might liven up the service a little bit. But I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I hope that it'll be a blessing to you this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. The way you get asked back to speak somewhere, and I hope to get asked back after this, is you're either short or you're good. I'll work on being short, okay? Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I got a couple of things I want to read to you real quick before we read the scripture. I won't make a stand for this because these are some instructions that I found on some items as I was looking. Now, they're laughing because I had to read a couple of them in youth class this morning. A couple of them didn't get them, but it's okay. They were written for them. As I was looking at some items, I found some rather peculiar instructions on these items. On a Sears hair dryer, I found this inscribed, "Do not use while sleeping." I don't know why, but you're not supposed to use it while sleeping. On a bag of Fritos, check it out. On a bag of Fritos, it said, "You could be a winner." Now, this is this promotion. "You could be a winner. No purchase necessary. Details inside." I don't know if you have to be a mind reader. I'm not sure. On a bar of Dial soap, I don't use Dial, but maybe some of you do. You can read this on the bar of Dial soap on the box. It says, "Use like regular soap." And I'm not sure what that's opposed, you know, to, I don't know. And on a pack of Swanson's frozen dinners, when you're going through the aisle there, look at these. It says, "Serving suggestions, defrost." I think it's just a suggestion, but you might want to try it. On Tesco's tiramisu dessert, which I personally like, printed on the bottom of this, it says, "Do not turn upside down." Now, if you're like me and you found that while the dessert was still in there, it just didn't work out very well. On a Marks and Spencer bread pudding. How many know what bread pudding is? You don't know unless you're over 60. But anyways, bread pudding. "Product will be hot after heating," just to let you know that. I'll skip down. Oh, on Nitol sleep aid. This one's funny. Nitol sleep aid. You know, it's supposed to help you go to sleep. "Warning, this may cause drowsiness." And I'm taking this because, I got a cold or something. Two more real quick. On most brands of Christmas lights, you'll find this inscribed, "For indoor or outdoor use only." I want to know what else is there? Indoor, outdoor, I don't know. And two more real quick. These are hilarious. On an American Airlines packet of peanuts, if you read the packet of peanuts, it says, "Open packet, eat nuts." I'm not sure what else there would be to do with those packet of peanuts except hit the guy sleeping next to you. And then on a child Superman costume, "Wearing this garment does not enable you to fly." I do not blame the people who made the costume for that. I blame the parents. But on a Swedish chainsaw, last one, Swedish chainsaw, "Do not attempt," it says on the chainsaw, big letters, orange color, "Do not attempt to stop the chain with your hand." But anyways. This Bible, the reason I read those to you this morning, I found it very humorous, but this Bible truly is an instruction manual. I'm bringing to you this morning instructions on a certain topic. A certain topic that I found in the Word of God that hopefully will help your life. As you have Mark chapter 10, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We'll start in verse number 46. Mark 10 and verse 46. It says, "And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, talking about Jesus, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus and the son of Timaeus sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning as a humble servant. Lord, I pray that I'd be a vessel of honor for your use this morning. Lord, may you fill me so that I could speak the words of you to your people. May the Holy Spirit take those words that come out of my mouth, and may he drive it in the hearts of Bethel Baptist Church and every person here sitting this morning. It's only the work of the Holy Spirit that can do anything with the words that come out of my mouth. I can't do anything to convict them. I can't do anything to save them. But yet you and your power alone can make something of it. Lord God, please come down this morning. Come down in your Spirit's presence. May we feel your presence. May we do something with it. May we take this message throughout the week, throughout our lives, and apply it. And we'll give you all the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
As you're being seated, let me tell you the quick story of blind Bartimaeus. John, could you turn me up just a tad? I don't want the ones that were licking the lips with bread pudding. I want them to make sure. No, I'm just kidding. I want them to hear me, all right? Turn it up just a tad. Can you guys hear me in the back? Can you hear me good? All right. I want you to turn it up even another notch. I want Mary so that she can turn down the hearing aid just a little bit, all right? Turn it up another notch. Can you hear me louder? Okay, very good. Thank you. If I give feedback, just turn it back down. I want you to hear me this morning. It's early. I realize that. And I don't want you to fall asleep on me because I am so excited what God gave me to give to you. This morning, blind Bartimaeus is the subject. And the title of my message is blind and begging, but blessed. Blind and begging, but blessed. If you're taking notes this morning, write that at the top and I'll get through the 3 points that I have with you. Blind and begging, but blessed. Blind Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the street in the city of Jericho. Sitting there blind, sitting there with maybe the only garment that he owns, a garment draped around his shoulders. Maybe sitting there with just his hands or a cup to hold the alms that he's asking for. It's almost indicated here that blind Bartimaeus is well known. It says that he's the son of Timaeus. So maybe this man has been sitting there for years. Think about this with me. If you are a beggar and you're also blind, think about the suffering that he must go through. He isn't like a normal man that maybe could go after the people. He has to listen in silence and in blindness and in darkness and wait for the people to come to ask them maybe for alms so that he could eat that day. And blind Bartimaeus, he's sitting by the roadside. And all of a sudden, maybe through time, he's heard the stories of Jesus of Nazareth. Maybe he's heard the stories of what Jesus had done for other people. Maybe he heard the story of the Gadarean man, that he took the demon possession out of his life. Maybe he heard the story of the lady that touched the hem of his garment and healed her. Maybe he heard these stories sweeping through his town. As he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming his way, he got a little bit excited. And he started to cry out. Now, he can't see Jesus. He just hears he's coming. And he begins to cry out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he starts screaming to Jesus. As Jesus walks by, at this point in Jesus' life, as he is on the earth, he is still believed by the Jewish people that he is the Messiah. They haven't seen him go into the city on palm branches. They haven't seen him go into the courtyards. They haven't seen him do all these things before they deny him. They still see him as the Messiah coming to save their people. And blind Bartimaeus is sitting there, and in his mind, he believes, this is the Messiah, thou son of David. And he calls out to him. And these people seeing Jesus Christ as royalty, he's like the king coming through the streets. They say, be quiet, stop screaming, hush. And they're maybe putting their hands over his mouth trying to get blind Bartimaeus to stop. Hey, he doesn't want anything to do with you this morning. You're blind. You're a beggar. He wants the people. He wants the rulers of the city to come out and greet him, not you, the blind beggar. And as he walks by, this determines blind Bartimaeus even more. And blind Bartimaeus, as Jesus draws closer, starts screaming all the louder, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. What an awesome thought. This morning when you cry out, he stands still. He stands still. He hears the blind beggar. He walks up to the blind beggar. He says, what would you have me to do? He said, I'd like to receive my sight. And Jesus said, your sight is granted. Instantly, without a second notice, the man all of a sudden, for his lifetime of blindness, sees the world as you and I see it. What an awesome thought. He's standing there and he sees not only the world, but he sees the Savior. Maybe for his first sight. He opens his eyes and he sees Jesus. Amen. And he sees Jesus face to face. And he sees Jesus. And not only does he become healed, but he decides he's going to follow him. And he goes with Jesus. I've got a 3-point message this morning. Let me start by asking you this morning, what do you want? What do you want from Jesus? Jesus said, what wilt thou have me do? What do you want from me? What do you want from Jesus this morning? What did you come to church for? What are you sitting in the pew for? Why are you here this morning? What is your purpose? Hey, I understand that you came to get a blessing from God. That's a little too generic for me. I want to know what you came here for specifically. Some of you have needs. There's women with cancer in here. There's ladies that are with child in here. There's people with back braces. There's people with canes. There's people with financial problems. There's people that need retribution. There's people that need things from God this morning. What do you need? What do you need from God Almighty this morning? What is it? Hone in on where, if you had a miracle this morning. Now, I'm not talking about Benny Hinn. I'm not talking about a faith healer. I'm not going to stand on this table and have you come forward and smack you in the forehead. I never understood that. Anyways, but no wonder those people get up and walk. You just crushed them in the head. You know, it's like, pow, and they stand up and walk. I would probably stand up and walk out of my walker too. They're like delirious, like, whoa, what just happened? I just got punched in the head. But I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about God Almighty. What do you want? What do you need? What is it that you want from Jesus Christ this morning? What is it? What is it? Because he's still in the miracle working business. Jesus Christ can still come down and meet your need this morning. God can come down and do a miracle for you this morning. What is it that you want? Hone in on the fact that if you had a miracle, it would change your life. You know what? There isn't one person that your need, a miracle, could not cure. Think about that. If God came down this morning, granted you a miracle, something that man could not give you, would that not change your life? Would it not? Blind Bartimaeus was changed. Do you need healing this morning? Do you need retribution? Do you need finances? Do you need marital help? What do you need from God this morning? What I want you to do. A lot of you have thought of that in your mind. You're thinking about what you need. If you have a pen in your hand, would you do this for me? Write down one or two words on a piece of paper and tell God what you need this morning on a piece of paper. Write it down on a piece of paper. Here, God, this is specifically what I need. I want you to write it down this morning. I want you to have it in your mind this morning as I go through the service. I want you to say, God, I need this. I need it. Write it down. Be specific. Lord, I have cancer. I need a miracle. Hone in on that miracle that would change your life. Blind and begging, but blessed. I found three things in this story that were very interesting to me. The first thing I found is Jesus asking the blind beggar, what do you want? Number one, I found the petition that is present. I found the petition that is present. The blind beggar looking up at Jesus saying, hey, I need you to come down. I need you to see me where I'm at this morning. I need you to see me as a blind begging man. This parallels with a Christian and a non-Christian. The blindness, maybe a spiritual blindness. Maybe the story is not just given for the healing that God gave, but maybe it's the story and the fact that he's referencing the lost Christian this morning, the lost sinner this morning who doesn't have Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're blind, they're undone, they're in the dark, they don't know what Jesus Christ can do for them. Do you know what Jesus Christ can do for you this morning in regards to your eternal security? Are you lost? Are you undone? Are you in your sin? Do you know if you would have heaven or hell as your eternal destination? I found the petition that is present. In verse 51, if you look there in verse 51, it says, and Jesus answered and said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, I might receive my sight. The petition that's present. Number one, under the first point, the petition that's present, I found that he acknowledged the Lord's person. Have you acknowledged the Lord's person? Do you know what Lord means? Do you know why they call it landlord? Because he's in charge of your house. He takes the rent. Have you made Lord over you? Have you made Jesus Christ Lord of your life this morning? He acknowledged him as Lord. He said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Right there he's saying, Messiah, the chosen one, God Almighty, come down in flesh. I am acknowledging who you are. I believe you can do something for me. Have you acknowledged God this morning? Have you acknowledged him in his person? Is he Lord of your life? Are you here this morning for a Christmas treat or an Easter blessing? Maybe you haven't been here in a while. Maybe you're a faithful member. I don't know why you're here this morning, but think about what you need and then have you acknowledged that God is a person, that God can come down, God can change you and your situation. God can do it. Have you acknowledged the Lord in his person? Number two, under the petition that is present, he acknowledged the Lord's power. Do you know that God is in the miracle-working business this morning? God can take a blind man and he can make him see. God can take an adulterous woman. And instead of her laying on the ground, getting ready to be stoned, he can make the multitudes all of a sudden look inside themselves and realize that they're undone. That they're worse than the lady laying there. And he brings the lady up and he gives her salvation. Go and sin no more. Jesus Christ can do great and mighty things this morning. He can do them for you. He can do them for me. He can do them for our pastor. He can do them for whoever he chooses, whoever he pleases. He can do it because he is God. Have you acknowledged God's power? The thing that's going wrong in your life, have you acknowledged his power in that situation? Under the petitions present, blind Bartimaeus acknowledged the Lord's person. He acknowledged the Lord's power. I think of 1 Chronicles and 4 and verse 10 in the prayer of Jabez. How many of you guys have ever heard the prayer of Jabez? Jabez, and I'll read it to you, it says, and Jabez called upon the Lord of Israel saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast and that thy hand might be with me and that thou wouldst keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Jabez said, I know you're God. I understand your power. Would you enlarge my borders? And God gave it to him. God gave Jabez the land he desired. He gave him the power he desired. All because he acknowledged the Lord's power. I remember as a child growing up in this church. I remember growing up and believing that I was saved. I really didn't have a story. I really didn't have a testimony. I really didn't remember when and why I was saved. Then as a 12-year-old boy growing up in this church, I went to Sunday school, was at every activity the church ever had here. And I remember laying in my bed at nighttime. I remember laying there, and I remember the thought of burning in hell. I remember the dreams that I had as a 12-year-old boy saying, am I really saved? Do I really know if I died this morning that I would go to heaven? And I remember coming out to my parents as a 12-year-old boy and saying, Mom and Dad, I don't know. I'm having these dreams. I have this feeling that I'm not saved. I don't remember getting saved. I don't remember the story. I don't remember the experience. I don't remember where it was. And I remember as a 12-year-old boy, on my knees in front of my parents' couch, hand over drive, I remember sitting there and I remember praying with my parents and accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. You know what I did that day? I acknowledged the Lord's power. I said, "You are Lord of my life. You are someone I need to call on as my Savior because I can't get to heaven on my own. I'm a sinner." Just like Romans says, we're all lost. We're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. But you know what I did? I acknowledged His power in sending His Son to die on the cross, to be buried, and to be rose again so that I could have eternal life. I believed in that power. Have you acknowledged God's person? Have you acknowledged God's power? Number one, it's what do you want? The petition that's present. Number two, what will you do to get it? What is it that you are shirking that maybe you could do to get that miracle you want from God? What is it that you want from God that maybe this morning you're just unwilling to do some things to help you get it? I want you to notice the progress that's possible. If you look at verse number 48 there, verse number 48 says, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" The crowd is saying, "Hey, blind man, shut up, be quiet. He doesn't want to have anything to do with you. He is God Almighty. He's the Messiah. He doesn't want anything to do with beggars. He wants to talk to royalty." They wanted him to shut up, be quiet, stop. You know, he doesn't want to hear from you. They're pushing him back, stop. And he cries all the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me. I need it." What do you need this morning? What would you do if you could get it? Or what would you do to get it? First of all, I noticed there, under the progress that's possible, I noticed his disregard for public opinion. Going to a Baptist church my whole entire life, I see this on a consistent basis. I see bickering. I see fighting. I see somebody get on fire for the Lord and want to do something, and I see another Christian coming over with a wet blanket to throw it on his fire. Right. I see a Christian that says, "I'm sold out for God, I don't care what anybody else thinks," and I see somebody come up from behind him, throw a wet blanket on his fire. Some of you have gotten excited in the past. Some of you have wanted to do something for God in the past. Some of you said, "Hey, if I got the opportunity, I want to do this for God. I want to do something." And then somebody came along and extinguished your fire. The one thing I noticed here is that these people could not stop him from going to do what he needed to do to get his miracle. He was sitting there by himself as a blind beggar in the dark, and these people are saying, "Be quiet," and he screams out the more, "Lord, I need you, thou son of David, have mercy on me." What will you do to get it? We throw off public opinion. I know there's things in my life I would have done if I had not been discouraged by another believer. I know there's non-believers here this morning that if they had help from a Christian believer would come to salvation in Jesus Christ. I know that you would come and do something for God if you weren't worried about the public opinion of the church. And blind Bartimaeus didn't care. He needed the miracle. He had to have it. This was something he knew Jesus could provide for him, and he was unwilling to stop until he got there. What public opinion is swaying you? What public opinion is swaying you? Number two, under the progress that is possible, I noticed the disposal of personal obstacles. Notice his disregard of public opinion. But then he disregarded his personal obstacles. You notice that this man, as Jesus is coming by, this man takes off his cloak, throws down anything that's restricting him, and he goes to Jesus. You realize at this time, a beggar has nothing. A beggar has nothing. Probably the cloak that's on his back represents probably one half of the wealth that he owns. And he disregards it so that he can go to God and get what he needs. Are you willing to disregard those personal obstacles? What are you willing to do to get the miracle you need? What are you willing to do for what God has instructed you to do? What are you willing to do? What person are you willing to bypass? Which friend are you willing to say, hey, I really don't care about your opinion because God wants me to do it. I'm more concerned with what God wants me to do instead of what you want me to do. What personal obstacle is stopping you from serving God? Hey, maybe some of you have been called in the mission field. Maybe some of you have been called to preach. Maybe some of you have been called into the bus ministry. Maybe some of you have been called into a Sunday school teacher. And yet you cannot do it because you're held back by the personal obstacles. What is it that's holding you back? Blind Bartimaeus set the example. He threw off the cloak. He threw everything off because he had to get there. He had to have that miracle. He disposed of his personal obstacles. He would do anything for a miracle. I can't serve God at work, you would say. Throw off your reputation. Who cares? I have plans for college. Why don't you throw off those plans for earthly ambitions and maybe go to Bible college? I can't do anything at church. Maybe you should throw away your monetary development. Throw off pride. Throw off fear. Throw off jealousy. Whatever it is that's stopping you from serving God, throw it off this morning just like him. He removed all restrictions to get to the goal they needed to get to. He removed them all. I got a quick illustration for you. How many teenagers would like to make some money right now? All right, Levi, come on up. Very good. I got here early this morning, and I placed a $10 bill right up there on the projector thing. See the green $10 bill hanging off the side right there? $10 bill right there. You said you wanted money. How bad do you want it? Pretty bad, okay. You want that $10 bill pretty bad, right? Okay. What are you willing to do it? You willing to do anything? Yeah, he's like, he's my brother. He might do something pretty bad to me. Maybe, he said. Well, let's pretend that you're willing to do anything to get that $10 bill. A lot of times, that $10 bill represents the victory you could have in Jesus Christ. It represents the miracle you could have if you chose to get it. Maybe you just don't know how to get there. Levi, do you know how to get up there? Okay. So if I provided you a way to get up there, would you get up there and grab that $10 bill? First of all, the $10 bill represents victory. But sometimes we have to get rid of some things. Do you have any money in your pocket? A dollar? I want you to take that dollar. I want you to throw it on the offering plate. So you're willing to get rid of a dollar to get 10, right? Okay. And mom's going to yell at me for what I'm about to let you do. So I want you to apologize to mom in advance for scaring her. Sorry, mom. And just like blind Bartimaeus, I'm scared maybe your tie will get in the way. So why don't you go ahead and take off that tie? Okay, go ahead. Stick it over there by Brianna. Yeah, there you go. Unbutton that top button. It's my fault he has his tie off, mom. I'm sorry. So that $10 bill's up there. Now, if I provide a way, you've already made the sacrifice. You've already taken off all restrictions. Now if I provide a way, would you go get that $10 bill? Real quick, go in that door right there. Open that door. Quick, come on. Let's go. $10 bills at stake here. What's right there to your right? A ladder. Okay, grab that ladder. Hurry up. Grab the ladder. Let's go. Very good. Hurry up. Come out. Ryan Robinson, help him stand that up right there. Come on, boys. Let's go. Now, you might want to be on this side of it so that you can actually get it. Watch out, ladies. These guys are... Okay, now, Ryan, hold that for him. I don't want him to fall off and my mom to kill me. Go ahead, climb up. Grab the $10 bill. Very good. All right, now hop back down. Go back down. Stick that $10 bill in your pocket. Put the ladder away real quick. Ryan, you want to help him? The ladder represents opportunity. The dollar bill represents victory. The dollar he stuck in the offering plate represents sacrifice. The tie you took off represents the articles that you must take off in order to get the things you need from God. You see, he was willing to get it. He was willing to do anything that he could to get it. I provide him the way. A lot of times Jesus Christ, in praying to him, will provide the way for you to get the things you need. You have to be diligent in asking him on how to get it. Now, Levi, he took that. You can sit down now. I'm done with you. And I want $10 back in a minute. But he had to get the... You can pay for lunch, all right? He got the ladder of opportunity. He brought it up. He climbed the ladder of opportunity and he got the victory. He laid off all restrictions. He made his sacrifice. And that's exactly on how God wants us to get things from him. Look at blind Bartimaeus. I can't even say that man's name. Blind Bartimaeus. He laid off everything. He laid off all of his restrictions. He made the sacrifice. He didn't care about public opinion. He laid off all the personal obstacles in his life. And he went for what he needed from God. That thing you wrote down on your paper, what do you need? You willing to do anything to get it? What are you willing to do to get the miracle from God you need this morning? So first of all, we've noticed that the petition that's present. Number two, we've noticed that the progress that is possible. Number three, and lastly, the purpose that is proposed. What will you do with it when you get it? First of all, I said, what do you need? Then I said, what will you do to get it? Then, thirdly, what will you do with it when you get it? I want you to notice something here. And my third point, the purpose that is proposed. If you look back to verse number 52 in chapter 10, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." I noticed two things. First of all, I noticed that there's a closeness between him and God after he got the miracle. I noticed that he followed him in the way. First of all, he followed. I noticed the closeness. The purpose that is proposed here is that maybe if God would do something for you this morning, you would follow him. Maybe God hasn't done anything for you. Maybe you look at all the other people that get the things that they want and you go, why don't I get that? Why am I not like that person? I don't know God's divine ordinances for our lives. I don't know why he chooses some. It says he reigns on the just and the unjust. I don't know. I'm not God. But maybe this morning, the reason that you haven't got the thing that you need from God, the thing that you want from God, is because you're not willing to do the things it takes to get it. Maybe you're not willing to disregard those personal obstacles. And then also, maybe God knows, after he gives you those things, he knows what you're going to do. Is that miracle that you wrote down on that paper, is that thing that you want from God this morning, is that thing going to take you to God or from God? Maybe that's why he won't give it to you. Maybe that's why he won't grant your wish. Maybe that's why he won't help you. Hey, God, I want $1 million. What are you going to do with $1 million when he gives it to you? Maybe God would grant you $1 million if you would work hard to get $1 million. Because he knows that working hard would help you be a better millionaire than a lottery winner or something. I don't know. Closeness. He followed Jesus. He walked closely. That word closeness means to accompany. He walked with him. He walked with him in the way. Number two, I noticed his commitment. The way symbolizes that he was on the same road. He wasn't just walking the same direction, but he was on the same path. He was on that way. He was on the way with Jesus Christ. He was on the straight and narrow way. He was with Christ himself. He was with Christ, the Messiah. He made a closeness with him, and then he also made a commitment to him, and he walked with him in the way. The purpose that is proposed here is that blind Bartimaeus, upon receiving sight, he got close with his Savior. After he got close with his Savior, he made a commitment to his Savior. What are you willing to do for your miracle? As I thought about this story, I remembered this story that I'd read in the paper. And the Norfolk Railway Line was going through Indiana. And this railroad was a pretty high speed. It was in a very rural county, so they were allowed to go at certain speeds that you're not allowed to go through, like cities and things like that. Very fast. And taking a normal route that they always took, you know, it's a railroad, and they were going the same direction that they go every day, they're driving through Indiana on this train. And up ahead, on the train tracks, the captain of the train, or whatever you call them, the engineer, right, he sees what he thinks is like a dog or something, a couple blocks up. Little announced to him, a little girl by the name of Emily Marshall was standing on the railroad tracks, just under 2 years old. He thought a couple blocks away what it thought to be. He thought maybe it was a dog or some type of an animal. He could barely make it out. And Emily Marshall's mom was inside, her house backed up to the railroad tracks. She's vacuuming her carpet. She couldn't hear or she didn't know where her daughter was. They had a fenced-in yard. Somehow the daughter had got out of the fenced-in yard and headed for the railroad tracks. Her mom had told her, don't ever go to the railroad tracks. Please stay away from the railroad tracks. They're bad. You know, they'll hurt you. And all the things you tell a two-year-old. And this little girl, standing on the railroad tracks, curious, picking up the rocks, picking up the nails and the spikes, and just curious about the railroad. She'd seen it many times. She'd seen it hundreds and maybe thousands of times as a child. She saw the whistle blow. She saw the men maybe waving each day, but this time she saw it coming towards her. And the railway, the engineer, realized as he neared maybe two blocks away that it was a little girl standing on the middle of the tracks. So immediately he ran for the brake. He grabbed the brake. He tried to stop the train. But as many of you know, when you're moving at a high rate of speed on a train, with all that weight, you can't stop very quickly. And he pulled the brake and he began to blow the horn and he called one of the men down that was working with him and he said, hey, we got a problem here. This girl's on the track. And the guy said, I'll climb out on the front of the train. So the man climbed out on the front of the train as they're going down and he made his way out and they had one of those cattle guard things on the train, just like old times. And he climbed down on the grill of the train, still moving very quickly. With the brake on, there was nothing they could do, heading straight for the little girl. Maybe in the distance from me to the doorway of the back auditorium, the man finally got to the grade of the train and he's hanging on by one hand. He's got his feet locked in, but he doesn't know what he's going to do. They're moving too fast. What is he going to do? This two-year-old standing on the track, what's he going to do? And as he neared closer and closer, the train began to stop a little bit, but it was still moving way too fast. And he decided that maybe he'd jump off and he'd run and try to get ahead of the train and thought, nah, I can't run that fast. He thought, maybe I'll try to grab her as we get close. No, that'll never work. She'll go under the train or she'll be bounced off just like the cattle. What will I do? The train's nearing the little girl. It's going to kill her. What will he do? And he's standing there holding onto the grate, holding on. And as he nears and nears and nears and closer to the girl, he finally, in quickness, he kicks the girl out of the way with his foot. Saved her life. As he kicked her off of the track, he fell off of the train. He fell down and he grabbed her and he hugged her and he cried and he wept because it scared him so bad. As he was laying there weeping with this little girl in his arms and she was cut and she was bruised and she was bleeding, but she was alive. The mother came out and the mother didn't know what happened and she walked over to the man and she said, what happened? And he said, I had to kick your daughter. As she was standing on the tracks, and we both fell off the train, and she's okay. Let's take her to the hospital, and let's get her checked out. The reason I'm telling you that story this morning is because sometimes God has to bruise us in order to get us to a place where we're safe enough they can grant us the things we want. Maybe you're going through a trial to get the bruising. Maybe you're going through a testing to help your life. What is it that you want this morning? Blind Bartimaeus, he wasn't worried about the people around him. He wasn't worried about the obstacles that were in his way. He didn't care about the restrictions. He climbed up that opportunity. He grabbed the hold of the victory that Jesus Christ gave him. Will you do that this morning? What I'm going to invite you to do this morning is to come to the altar. Many of you maybe have not been to the altar in years. Maybe you've sat in the pew and you don't even believe that a miracle is possible in your life. Maybe you don't even believe changing is possible in your life. Maybe you've sat in a pew for 30, 40, 50 years and you don't believe it. The reason that blind Bartimaeus was healed was not only because of all the things he was willing to do, but he was healed because of the thing that he believed. He believed that Jesus Christ was a Messiah and he would do those things. He had faith. You can believe in the pew, but faith is exercising your belief, maybe stepping out and saying, God, this is what I need. Maybe you take that thing you wrote down this morning, you take it to the altar and say, God, I need that. This isn't a want. Jesus Christ saw beyond blind Bartimaeus' need, or beyond his wants, and he healed his need. I believe that not only was blind Bartimaeus healed, but he was saved. You can't have the healing that Jesus Christ offers. You can't have the comfort that His Holy Spirit will give you if you've never chosen Him, if you've never accepted Him, and maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you need to come forward and say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. I believe that you died and you were buried and you rose again. Maybe you need to accept Him as your Savior so that you can have heaven as your home this morning. What will you do this morning? What will you do? Let me give you this quick invitation as we get ready to bow our heads and close our eyes. You're not going to get anything from God by standing there. You're not going to get anything from God without faith. You're not going to get anything from God without stepping out and going, Lord, I need it. Blind Bartimaeus, if he had stepped back in the crowd and if he stood behind the people and said, Lord, I need you. Lord, please come heal me. Maybe Jesus Christ would have passed by that day. Maybe we wouldn't have this phenomenal story in His Word. You stand behind the crowd this morning? Will you be worried about the Christian brother or sister that is sitting in the pew that will maybe mock you? Are you worried about what people will think about you? Hey, that guy's got problems. What's he going to the altar for? Are you worried about everybody else that sits around you? Or are you going to lay off those personal obstacles? Are you going to lay off those things that stand, those restrictions? What are you going to do with the message this morning? What are you going to do with it? You want that thing you wrote down? You want that thing you want in your mind? You have to step out by faith. You have to ask God for it. I can't tell you if God's going to grant it or not, but guess what? You're never going to get it if you don't at least ask for it. Ask, seek, and knock. You're not going to do it just by sitting there asking. You're going to do it by seeking and knocking. You're going to get up and you're going to say, Jesus Christ, I need this morning. I need you to help me this morning. I've got cancer in my life. Lord, can you do anything with that? Lord, I got marital problems. We're going through a divorce. We're losing our kids. What is it this morning that you need? It's time to come to the altar and say, Jesus Christ, I need you. And come up. Maybe get some healing. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Let me ask you a couple of quick questions. If you died today, you would say, I don't know for sure if I had heaven as my home. If you're not 100% sure, we can show you. If you're not 100% positive, we can show you. If you died today, do you know where you'd go? If you were 100% sure you'd go to heaven, would you slip up your hand and say, Eddie, I'm sure I would go to heaven. I'm positive. I ask Christ in my heart. I'm sure I would go to heaven. Thank you for that testimony. You can put those hands down. Maybe you say, Eddie, you know what? I'm just not sure. I'm not positive. You know what? You can be. And that's what this is all about. This is the reason why we came to church. This is the reason why I prepared this message. Not only so people can get victory, but so that you, my friend, can get salvation. What is it that you need? Maybe you need salvation. If you are not sure, what I want to do is I just want to pray for you. If you're not sure, if you died, you'd go to heaven today. Well, maybe you just slip up your hand just halfway and say, Eddie, I just am not sure. I'm not positive. Just go ahead and slip it up. Thank you, ma'am. I see one hand. Is there anybody else? I see one hand. There's one lady that says, I'm not sure. Is there anybody else that would say, maybe I don't know for sure that I could have heaven as my home and I want to know? I'm just going to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. Is there anybody else? Anybody else that needs salvation? Maybe you say, Eddie, I need a miracle. When you mentioned the first words about what do you need, the thing came to my mind, Eddie, I need this. God, I need this. What is it that you need this morning? Maybe you would say, Eddie, please pray for me because I need something from God this morning. Would you slip up your hand and say, Eddie, I need something from God. As a testimony, I need something from God this morning. What do you need? He's faithful. Put your hands down. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Then I'm going to have you stand. And then we're going to come to the altar and we're going to tell God what we need. Maybe it's salvation. Maybe you'll come and you'll accept Christ your Savior. Whatever it is, after we pray, we're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. And you're going to come as your statement of faith to God that I'm willing to stand out from the crowd. I'm willing to let go of those personal obstacles. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I give this portion of the service directly to you. It's only in and by your Holy Spirit's power that anybody would make any decisions this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd motivate them to do something. God, please come down. Do a mighty work in this church house this morning. And we'll give you the honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Everybody stand. Brother Rod, what page are we on?
17.
We're on number 17 if you want to sing. And right before we sing, if you got something you need, come on forward. If you need salvation, don't wait another day. If you need something from God, get to the altar because it's time that we do something as Christians. It's time. It's time. Now is the time. Today is the place. Mike, will you help this young lady right here in the red shirt? Belinda. Maybe you can come right up here. Right up here. Who else? Who else needs something from God? Have your way, Lord. Whatever it is, have your way. If you can't find a place at the altar, maybe find a place in the seats. Maybe find a place in the aisle. Whatever it is, ask God for those needs. He's a faithful God. Teenagers, what do you need? Do you need something from God this morning? Do you need it? If you need it, why don't you ask God for it? Step out by faith. Who cares what the other people in the pew think? Who cares? God doesn't care. All he cares about is what you need. Bring it to him this morning. What do you need?